So if you're new with us, or you haven't been around for the last couple of weeks, or you might just need a reminder, our teaching series at the moment is taken from the book of Colossians in the New Testament. And we have entitled our series, Full, Free and Alive. And this morning, Natalie is going to take us on in our journey through Colossians. So let's welcome Natalie onto screen again as she takes us on. And Natalie, I'll pray for you.
And then, thanks, Chris.
And then you can take us. All right, let's pray.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you so much for your word and that it is alive. It's a living word that speaks directly into our hearts, into our situations, into our lives, wherever we are, whatever's going on. Thank you that your word is relevant. And thank you for the gift that you've given Natalie to help explain your word, to help make it relevant to us. And thank you that Natalie hears you and that she's heard you for us this morning. And pray, God, that she would know your voice speaking to her and the clarity with which you've given the message to her. And we pray for our hearts now as we receive your word. We pray that we would be open and ready to receive whatever you would like to do in our lives this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Chris. Okay. Well, good morning, everybody. It is really lovely to be here. It is very strange. I feel like I'm speaking a word to myself here, seeing myself on the screen, but imagining you all in your homes, or some of you on holiday already, just really ready to just hear what God might be saying to you this morning. We talked earlier on in the gathering about where you might be going on holiday this summer. Now things might be opening up a little bit. Well, if you're thinking of going to Europe, I've just got a few tips for you, a couple of rules and regulations that you might want to bear in mind if you're going to some European countries. So the first one is, if you are planning on going to France this summer, which, you know, straightforward, you don't have to take a plane. Just make sure that if you happen to have a pig with you, you don't name it Napoleon. Apparently that is completely banned. It's against the law to name your pig Napoleon in France. But if you are in Paris and you happen to be a man carrying onions, apparently it is your right of way. The rule is that you are always given the right of way. So that's something that you might want to bear in mind, something that might be quite useful for you if you're trying to get around in Paris this summer. Another rule which you might want to take account of is, if you may be going later on in the year, maybe if you're going skiing, kind of Christmas in the winter time, apparently it is illegal for you to recite poetry whilst you are skiing down a mountain in Switzerland. So in case any of you were tempted, don't do that. You could get into some trouble. And the final rule I have for you today is something that my children would definitely need to take into account, and a reason they might not want to go to Greece, because apparently in Greece it is illegal to do any kind of electronic gaming. Apparently that's a thing and you're not allowed to do that. So there you go, just a few rules for you for being in Europe this year. Now, obviously, some of those, I don't know where all of the history of those came from, and some of them I can imagine are quite sensible, really. Skiing, you can cause yourself quite a nasty accident if you're not careful. So being lost in some kind of poetic chants and recitation might not be so helpful for you. Some of the rules obviously seem a little bit more strange. But I thought I'd just open with that this morning, because we're going to be having a think about rules from our passage this morning. And we're going to be having a think about the fact that Jesus has set us free from rules. He set us free for relationship with him. It's relationship with God that we're all about, over and above the rules that sometimes we can become a little more caught up in. So we are continuing our theme, as Chris said, of being full, free and alive. And last week, Janet really, really helpfully pointed out to us the fullness that we have in Jesus. She'd entitled her talk, All We Need Is Christ, and how Jesus has done everything that we need for our salvation. He has paid the price for us, and we have all our fullness in Christ. We are full. There is nothing more that we can do. We're full in him. And if you didn't catch Janet's message last week, I'd really encourage you to look back online and to have a listen to that. So this week we're talking about being free, free to pursue relationship with Jesus above rules. And next week we're going to move a little bit more into being alive. And Neil's going to help us to have a think about that a little bit more. So I'm going to get into our reading now. And we're reading today from Colossians chapter 2. We're starting at verse 16 and we're going through to chapter 3, verse 4. But the first verse in our reading today is therefore. And as you probably heard lots of people tell you before, if you see therefore, you have to think, well, what is that word therefore? And so we just need to remember everything that has already come before in Colossians and all the things that Janet talked to us about last week, that Christ is the fullness in us. He has given us fullness. And it's all about him. And it's from that place that we're going to carry on through our reading this week. So therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his own spiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He has lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use, because they are based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom, with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So, the church in Colossae had come out of a more pagan tradition. There were a whole mishmash of cultures that were going on in Colossae at the time. And some of those had begun to have their practices and their rituals included within the church and the practices of the first Christians in Colossae. There were a number of different things going on. One of them was the things that had come in from Judaism. So there were the rules around the festivals and the particular practices that were more legalistic and that had come out of the Judaism tradition. There was also mysticism. It was a pagan culture traditionally. There was a lot of spiritual ideas around. A lot of spiritual experiences were promoted and esteemed really highly and had been worshipped. Things like Paul mentions, the worship of angels. So those things were around at the time, and they were beginning to encroach on the church and how the Colossians were trying to live out their faith. And then there was another issue going on at the time, which was asceticism, which in essence is extreme self-denial and even harm to the body in order to try and discipline the body and to try and kind of purge out the things that were bad to make people good. And there was this whole mishmash of things in the mix for the church at Colossae at the time. And as we have today in our different denominations and in the different practices that we experience, some people emphasise particular practices and particular traditions and particular rituals over others. And sometimes when we get into that kind of, when we hold on to something really strongly, it can cause us to become judgmental towards people who are acting in a different way and who maybe prioritize other things. So there was a lot of judgment going on within the church in Colossae. And one of the things about Judaism, which was really quite appealing, and the strict moral code that Judaism brought, was it gave a real break from the kind of mess of the pagan society, where anything goes and it was really unclear as to how you should choose to live your life. The very strict rules and the severe self-discipline of Judaism or asceticism meant that you felt like you were making progress. It made you feel like you were really getting somewhere in your spiritual life. And so these kind of practices were being much more promoted. And Paul just outlines those a little bit. But he says, since you died with Christ to the basic principles of the world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? And Paul understands that there is a limit to how rules can help us. Now, I don't know what kind of person you are, how you are with do's and don'ts. I personally really like a list of do's and don'ts. I'm a list person anyway, but I love to know what I can and can't do, because I feel like it's very black and white. It's very clear. There's no room for any kind of mistakes or errors. If I stick to that, I know where I'm at. But not everybody is like that. I know that sometimes when you're trying to raise a toddler, it can be quite difficult, because actually when you say no to them, they don't say, oh, yes, okay, mommy, yes, that's fine. What they do is they look at you and they go, really? And then they do the exact opposite of the thing that you ask them not to do. So that's not particularly helpful in them kind of learning boundaries. And I also remember when I was at university, when I first arrived there, my housemate had recently been diagnosed with epilepsy, and she'd only had the diagnosis about a month. And the doctors had said to her, it's really important that you don't get overtired, that you don't drink excessive amounts of alcohol, that you don't take any substances that will affect your mind and your body adversely. And that's what you need to do to stay well. And so obviously you can imagine, she's 18, she's just come to university. That is not what she was hoping to hear for her first term at university. And certainly, I don't think in our house we went to bed before 2 a.m. at all in the first term. But I heard that when she told me that, and I thought, okay, she will be really sensible. And she really wasn't very sensible at all. And she just wanted to go out and do what she wanted to do. And I remember talking to our other housemate and saying, I don't understand. And my other housemate said to me, I totally do. If you tell me not to do something, I'm going to go right ahead and do it. And so everybody's personality is different. If I said to you, don't think about a pink elephant sitting on the sofa with you, actually, what you're going to do straight away, I bet you've got an image of a pink elephant in your head, because that's sometimes how our minds work. So just having a list of do's and don'ts doesn't actually help us. Paul says all these rules of do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, they're all destined to perish with use because they're based on human commands. He says they have an appearance of wisdom, but that's just an illusion if they are merely human. If they're not actually about the internal transformation in us, they can't affect an external change. Jesus talks about the things that come out of our hearts are the things that affect our behaviour and make us unclean, not the things that we kind of take into us. It's all about what's in our hearts. And a long list of rules and severe kind of rituals are not the things that are going to actually change what's going on in our hearts. I know that when I try and eat less chocolate, if I just force myself, I'm not going to do this, doesn't actually last for very long at all. In the end, I'll probably go to the other extreme, and I noticed that it hasn't really helped me at all. They don't have any value in restraining sensual indulgence, because we are not designed to be able to just talk ourselves into that a transformation in our behaviour. And Paul knows all about this. He was the ultimate Pharisee. He knew all about living by rules and regulations, and he knew that they weren't the thing that had transformed his life. We'll go on to talk about that in a moment. But I wonder if there are some people listening to this who hear what I'm saying, because you've been battling with something. You've been trying to master some kind of behaviour, and it's not working. The things that you have tried to put in place have not worked, and you still find yourself caught up in this behaviour that hasn't actually been able, you've not been able to get on top of it, and you feel like you're not living in freedom. And I just really feel like today God wants to draw you closer to him, and he wants to give you a break. Actually, he wants to say to you, you don't have to try harder. You don't have to put more rules in. There are no more do this and don't do that. Actually, come to me, because I want to give you a break, and I want to help you to live in freedom, and the freedom that I've bought for you. And so if that's you right now, I'd just like to take a moment to pray for you before we move on, if that's okay. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you don't come to condemn us. Lord, you come for life in abundance. And Lord, I pray for anybody who is listening right now who feels like they are failing. I pray that they would know that Jesus, you are the fullness of God in them, that you have came. You came so that you could nail all of the regulations to the cross. You have taken all of that upon yourself. Lord, I pray that you would lift the weight and the burden that has come from feeling so disappointed and a failure in terms of behaviour. Lord, that you will come now with your grace and with your peace. Amen. And the thing that Paul also says about these rules and these regulations is that actually not only do they not work, not only do they not have an effect, but they actually can disqualify us from the prize. And actually, even if we feel like we don't have any big issues in our life that we're trying to wrestle with in terms of behaviour, actually anything we do, any routines and rituals and regulations that we follow, that we have a higher view of than our trust in Jesus, actually can disqualify us from the prize that we have, which is life in Christ. We were not made to be our own Lord and Saviour. And sometimes we can move away from trusting that Jesus is all we need. We can forget that our fullness is all found in him, and we can begin to put our value and our trust in the rules and the practices that we carry out. We begin to get proud of ourselves, and then we lose that gift of grace. We lose the freedom that we have in that, because we begin to put rules over our relationship with God. And we see that in the Bible in a couple of places where we can then become judgmental, and thinking about the Pharisees and how legalistic they were and all the rules that they had added to the Ten Commandments. And they became really harsh and judgmental towards the people around them. And in Mark 7, Jesus actually calls them hypocrites. He says, you know, you're hypocrites because your hearts are far from God. You follow all these rules, but you've let them replace your heart connection with your Father in heaven. And we also see that in the story of the prodigal son. But where we look at the older brother, The older brother has followed all of the rules. He has been there. He has done everything to serve his father and to do what his father asked. But we see at the end of the story that he's actually become really angry and really bitter towards his father and towards his younger brother. And we discover that what's happened over time is that he's continued to work and to serve, but his motivation has been to get things from God rather than to know God. And so when we promote and elevate in our minds and in our hearts our rules and our rituals and our practices, we can actually end up getting further from God rather than closer to him. And the thing is, it's not that, you know, some of these rituals and things that were going on in Colossae weren't great. They were clearly kind of idolatrous worship, and they weren't things that we would promote. But some of them would have been. Some of them would have been okay. They would have started off as a good and helpful practice. And some of the things we do point us to Jesus, but they can become an end in themselves. And then we find ourselves going through the motions of just spiritual activity. So what is the freedom that God has for us? And for me, the sad thing is, it's not necessarily black and white, because it's about a relationship. It isn't necessarily a list of do's and don'ts. And that can be harder to work out what to do. A few years ago, I read a parenting book by a man called Danny Silk, and it was called Loving Your Kids on Purpose. And I know that Sophie and Elliot have also started looking at it, and are hoping to do some work with some parents on it later on in the year. But one of the first things that Danny Silk talks about in this book, his premise is that is that we don't just want our kids' behaviour, we want their hearts. And I remember reading that going, hold on a minute, go back again. We don't want their behaviour, we want their hearts. Well, the first time I heard it, I thought, no, I just want my children to do as I tell them to do. I just want them to do as they're told. Actually, why is that not a thing? Why can I not want that? And it took me a while. I had to really kind of wrestle with it and go, actually, what do I want for my children? And it's all right, I caught up. Yes, I do. I want their hearts. I want that heart connection with them. And I want their hearts so that they can learn for themselves to operate in a way that is good and wholesome and right and helpful. And that's the same with God. God wants our hearts. He doesn't just want our behaviour. He doesn't want us to go through the motions. He wants our hearts and our minds. And that's why at the beginning of chapter 3, he says, since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Set your minds on things above. Now, when you set something, you establish it. It's determined and it's focused. And Paul, in his letter here, tells us that we need to set our hearts. We need to set our affections and our devotion and our loyalty on things above and towards the person of Jesus. It's about a relationship. It's not about rules. And this is a really wonderful word of freedom for us. Okay, we are free to be with Jesus. We are free to be seated with him in the heavenly realms. In Ephesians, it tells us that we have been raised up with Christ and seated with him in the heavenly realms. We're free to be with him and not just have to do a load of rules. And he says to set your minds on things above. We need to refocus our minds so that our attention is on the truth. Because in Romans 12, Paul also tells us that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. We are not transformed just by the external rules and regulations that we follow. If we want to live a life that's really worthy of Jesus, we want to live a life that's really worthy of our faith. And I think most of us do. We love God and we want to be like him and we want to honour him and we want to give him glory. But we're not going to be able to do that if we just follow the rules and regulations. We have to have our minds transformed. And the way that our mind is transformed is by setting it on things above. We need to set it on the truth, and the truth that is revealed in his word. And it says the truth is our lives are hidden with Christ in God. Your life is safe with Christ. Your salvation is secure in Jesus. And that is the truth. He has done everything. Our fullness is in him. And so we don't have to work and strive for that. And sometimes it doesn't feel that. You know, we live in a really driven world. We live in a performance orientated world. We have to earn stuff. But actually, the truth is that Jesus has already done it all for us. And as we spend time with him, our hearts can catch up with that truth. And that's the thing that transforms our minds, transforms our choices, and then transforms our behaviour. And Neil's going to help us think about this a little bit more next week. But I just really encourage you this week to think about that. Think about where your focus is. Think about what you have, what you are establishing your heart and your mind on. Now, obviously, there are some things, some rituals, some kind of rhythms that help us to set our hearts and our minds on things above. Like I said, quite a rhythm person. I find it really, really helpful. And I'm not saying that we should throw out everything that we, you know, that we do. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is we have to just remember that it is ultimately about our relationship with Jesus. And even though I love rituals, rhythms and those kind of routines in my life, every now and again, I kind of have to abandon them and remember that it's not all about them. And one of the things that we've been trying to put into our lives over the last couple of years is a kind of rhythm of Sabbath and Sabbath rest. So trying to put kind of external work to one side and make sure that we organise our week so that we have some time and space to have Sabbath rest. And kind of all the external and the practical things I've kind of done okay with. But I realised recently that still Sabbath has become a time of working towards my spiritual improvement. So I will take time and I will read and I will study. And it's not that any of that stuff is bad at all. But what I realised is that Sabbath is a time for me to say, God, you are saviour, you are Lord, and I am not. And I cannot save myself. I cannot transform myself. So I am going to rest in who you are. And so now Sabbath has become a little bit more of, okay, what do I just love doing? What gives me rest? What brings me joy? What can I do? A couple of weeks ago, Neil woke up a bit later than me and he said, oh, have you been for a run this morning? This was on the Sunday morning. And I said, no, this is Sabbath now and it is my non-self-improvement day. I'm having a non-self-improvement day. And I realised that actually that's what I need. I need in my life to say, I am not going to try and do anything about this. I'm not going to try and improve anybody else either, so my children get a break too. Actually, we're just going to be. We're going to be and let Jesus be our all and be all about him. And even this week, I had to stop. I do this a Bible app usually. But this week, obviously, I've been steeped in Colossians. I've been just mulling over it. And I was thinking, I must do my app today. And I thought, hold on a minute. What's that all about? It's not that the app is wrong in any way. It's just that I'm already kind of connecting with God and pursuing this relationship with him and talking with him and hanging out with him. I don't need to just add another thing in. And so I've realised that I, even in with all the things that are good and they're healthy and they're right to bring rhythm and routine to our lives, they're still not Jesus. Jesus is all that we need and we are free to pursue him and to just love him above all of our activity, however good that might seem, for it just all to be about Jesus. And I just wonder whether you know, lockdown has stripped away a lot, hasn't it? I was reminded a couple of weeks ago as well about that, the song that Matt Redman wrote quite a long time ago now, when the music fades and all is stripped away and I simply come. And actually in lockdown, our small group communities gathering together have been stripped away. Our Sunday mornings or midweek gatherings have been stripped away. Going to the prayer meetings, actually going to a physical space has been stripped away. Singing all together has been stripped away. And none of those things were bad, but when those things are stripped away, sometimes we can feel ourselves feeling far from God. And in Revelation, John says that God speaks to the church in Ephesus and he says, you've lost your first love. Actually, you've been doing all this activity, but you have lost your first love. And actually, we may have realised that during this time, we need to recover our love for Jesus again. Actually, we need to just reconnect with him. And maybe there've been stuff that's made us just, we've noticed ourselves being judgmental or bitter or resentful. We think, where's that come from? And so maybe it's an opportunity for us just to reconnect with God and move back to our first love. And Paul, I think, probably had to return to this now and again, though he might have had just such an amazing revelation of grace that it wasn't the same as it is for him. But in Philippians, I just want to close with Philippians. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 9, Paul says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. So he's been talking about all of the things that he held up that he kind of counted on, and he's saying, I consider them lost. What is more, I consider everything a loss. Some translations say complete rubbish compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. So we are free to be right with God because of just our who Jesus is. We're free to be right with God for who Jesus is. We are free to pursue relationship with him above all else, above any other rules and regulations. He has come that we could be free, and we need to consider everything else as loss. So I just really like to encourage you to think about those things this week. Is there anything that God might be putting his finger on, and or anything that he's just encouraging you, saying, come away with me, just draw near to me again. I want you to know me better. I've got some stuff I want to share with you. So I'm going to take a moment to pray for us now, and I'm going to invite Debs to come back on screen, and she's going to lead us in some worship out of this brief time of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your incredible plan of salvation in our lives. That means that Jesus has saved us completely and we are free. This plan of yours, Lord God, that the freedom that Jesus paid for us means that we can know you and live for you and you alone. I thank you that all striving can cease. All of our work, all of our rules and regulations pale in light of who you are, Lord Jesus, and all that you've done for us. So, Lord, I pray for each one of us today and right now that we would remember that we're seated with you, that we're so close to you, Jesus, in the heavenly realms. We're seated with you. And our life is hidden in God. Lord, would we know your freedom this day to love you above all else. Amen.